Good morning, Abundant Life. I never get over the difference in energy levels between the first service and the second service. It is the difference between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. It is a world of difference. Holy mackerel, you guys are blessed. And so, we are continuing a series here at Abundant Life, being changed from the inside out. So what you're receiving right now is a piece of art that was constructed by our very own Kathy Self, who's in this house somewhere. I'm not sure where she is, but she's around. There she is, over there, back right. So what we're talking about is being changed from the inside out. How many of you have ever done like an event, you volunteered or something, or were at a camp, and they gave you like a free t-shirt? You're on a sports team or something, and it like has this cool design on it, and you wore it, and it looked great, and then you washed it a few times, and like not right now, it's like in the bottom of a drawer somewhere. And if you pull it out, like the letters are all kind of cracked, and the image is like missing, like the person's missing an eye and stuff. You know the kind of shirt I'm talking about? Okay, see, that shirt was changed from the outside in. They used a silk screening process where they applied some sort of a material or paint, something to it that just stuck to the outside, but it didn't actually transform the essence of that shirt. And so now the shirt's returning to its true nature slowly over time. Now, this is a different way that you can make things. What this is a small swatch of a tie. Ties are very interesting things. How many of you, gentlemen especially, you have a tie maybe that you even got from your dad, or a tie that you've owned for years? I have ties hanging in my closet that I got from my dad. I've got this tie in particular, I've owned for over a decade. There's no fading. There's no disappearance of the design on it because it's a woven thing. The change, the design, is from the inside out. And as a result, this material, like I will be dead before this thing changes. The colors may fade, but the essential design will still be there because it is a part of what the tie is now. That's our goal, to have true and lasting change in our lives. Change from the inside out, not from the outside in. Almost any change through willpower you can achieve for a week, for a month. But at some point, like the old t-shirt, it starts to crack, starts to fray, things start to disappear, and you return to the true nature. But when you have transformation from the inside out, you have something that will last and endure. And that's our prayer for you throughout this entire series. Now, this morning, we're talking particularly about, and by the way, keep this handy throughout the message. Periodically just look down upon it, maybe touch it, reflect upon the fact that that's what we're talking about, true lasting change. Today, we're talking about attitude being changed from within. Attitude. Back when I was in grade school, some friends and I, we started like writing notes to each other in code. Just because, I don't know, that's a thing that was cool at the time. And the most common code was a very simple one, after Pig Latin, which was, You take the number value of every letter. So like A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, right? And you would sort of encode a message in this very difficult to decipher technique. So like my name would be G-L-E-N, which is the numbers 7, 12, 5, and 14. So on the internet not too long ago, I saw floating around, I think it was on Facebook, this little graphic about the word attitude. That if you take the word attitude and assign the numerical values to each letter, 1 plus 20 plus 20 plus 9 plus 20 plus 21 plus 4 plus 5, attitude equals 100. 100%. Now, the first thing I did was I double-checked the math, because I don't trust these things I see on the internet. I actually went, I was like, is that actually the number 20? And it is. This actually checks out. My second thought was, how many words did they have to try? Because this wasn't just something that popped into someone's head. Gadzooks, I see it. No, no, no. They were trying stuff. Like, you know, what did they try first? Probably sleep. Sorry. 57%. Vegetables, I checked. Only 98%. Take that, vegans. Wednesday, however, is also 100%. Hump day. My third thought was, this is actually somewhat insightful. Yeah, it's a little bit gimmicky, but it's actually reflecting something that is pretty profound. That our attitude truly does matter. How many of you know someone in your life who could really use a change of attitude? Put your hand up. You got their attitude stinks like Axe body spray. Okay, look around the room. Okay, if that's your spouse with their hand up, it might be you. It's something to follow up with after the service. What is attitude? Attitude is the way that you see the world and respond to it. The official dictionary way is attitude is a settled way of thinking and feeling about something or someone. Synonyms are things like perspective, stance, outlook, mindset. We all know that attitudes come in two basic flavors, good and bad. And we all know what they look like. A bad attitude is, it sounds like this. Man, this is stupid. That'll never work. I can't believe we actually have to do this on a Saturday. I'm just unlucky. Bad things keep happening in my life. That's a bad attitude, right? Not going to be a bad attitude about life in general, a bad attitude about a scenario in particular, a bad attitude about a job, or a bad attitude about a person. We also know what a good attitude sounds like. We can do this. Come on, we're going to win. Come on, today's a new day. We can try again. I'm feeling blessed today. That's a good attitude. Now, when you've got a good attitude, good things become great and bad things become bearable. When you got a bad attitude, good things become opportunities for disappointment and bad things become overwhelming. We would all rather have a good attitude at some level, and we would definitely prefer to be surrounded by people with good attitudes. Have you ever worked with someone who had a horrible attitude? It didn't make your day easy. Now, here's the thing about attitude. It's a lot like BO, body odor. You can see it clearly in other people. Sometimes you're oblivious to your own. So this morning, I encourage you, even if you think that this is not for you, just try it on for size. It might be helpful. Okay, so some people, though, I know, I know, Glenn, I know I have a negative attitude. I know I've got a bad attitude, but you don't understand. That's just the way that I am. I was born this way. I'm never going to have a good attitude. Well, not with an attitude like that, you're not. How are you going to have a bad attitude about having an attitude? You're making trouble for yourself. But you're on to something which is important, which is that sometimes when someone gets up here and talks about, you know, changing attitude and stuff, what we're talking about is kind of fakery. It's like your personality is your personality. You are the way you are. Some people are more skeptical. Some people are more gullible. Some people are more spontaneous. Some people are more deliberate. Some people are more extroverted. Some people are more introverted. Those are true changes that are very between person to person. I'm not trying to make everyone into a clone of everyone else this morning. I'm not trying to turn everyone into SpongeBob, right? So SpongeBob, if you're not familiar, he lives in a pineapple under the sea. He's this yellow square that kids like to watch on TV. The thing is, his life is horrible in so many ways, but he's always so excited about it. He lives in a pineapple, but he acts like he's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Living in Hollywood, rolling large. He has a job, a minimum wage job, working at the Krabby Patty, which is like the knockoff of McDonald's. Right, you know, and what does he do every morning? He's like, this is awesome! He's so excited. Okay, that's personality. Right? That's the way that you express yourself. And that changes from person to person. I'm not talking about the way you express your attitude. I'm talking about the attitude that you have. That can change. Well, you keep saying that. Is it really possible? Yes. And I'll prove it to you from the Bible, assuming you take the Bible to be the Word of God. If you don't, then I encourage you this morning, just think for a few moments, what if it's true? How would that change my life? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Did you catch that? Paul said you were taught three things. You were taught, one, to put off your old self. You were taught, two, to be made new in your attitude. And you were taught, three, to put on the new self. You were taught to be made new in your attitude. Your attitude can change. God expects it to change. And it's something that we can learn. It's something we can be taught how to change our attitude. So how? How do we get a better attitude? Again, not meaning a different personality, but a better way of seeing and responding to the world around us, however we express that. Well, it's in that idea of what attitude is. It's the way we see the world. And so the way to get a better attitude is to get a better way of seeing the world. I don't know how many of you wear glasses. I wear glasses, and I think they're awesome. Because when I put on my glasses, I see the world differently. Things that were previously confusing now become very clear to me because I've got the right glasses with the right prescription on. The Word of God is the prescription that helps us to see the world more clearly. Our beliefs become the filter by which we perceive the stimuli that are coming to us. You see, how you see things says a lot about how you believe. And two people with very different beliefs, different sets of assumptions, can process the same experiences in totally different ways. It's like the difference between dogs and cats. How many dog people do we have? Cat people. Okay, dog people, you know that's true about your dog. Your dog looks at you, and it just says, you feed me, you take care of me, you pet me, you must be God. Cat people, you know your cat looks at you like this, you feed me, you take care of me, you pet me, I must be God. It's how you see the world says even more about you than it does about the world. As the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do in your life comes from the way that you are. Your stance towards the world conditions you to respond. And so here are a few things that I believe. See, I believe that when God made this world, he looked at it and called it good. And so who am I to disagree with him? Now, there's things in the world that are bad. Sin has corrupted the world, but the world itself is a good place. So I can't have a bad attitude about the world. God said it's a good world. Here's what I believe. I can't ever say that this season of my life is pointless. Because God is in control. And God has promised me that he's going to work all things together for my good. So this season of my life has a point. So I can't have a bad attitude about the season of my life being pointless or just a waste of time. Something's happening. Even if I don't see what it is, something is happening. Bad times, I believe, are no reason for a bad attitude. Because the Bible tells me that I should consider it pure joy when I undergo trials. Now, in the last three things, what did I just say? Did I say that trials are illusory, that pain is a matter of the mind, that all these things? No. Trials are real and they're not fun. Pain is real and it's horrible. We live in a broken world, and we have to respond to that appropriately. But from the perspective of attitude, part of the appropriate response is to say, circumstances are temporary, and God is eternal. And God is on my time. And so that means, on my side, that means that I can respond with a good attitude even in the midst of a bad situation. Like Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, I, knowing what lies in the long term before me, can endure what is in front of me in the short term here and now, whatever it may be, because I have a good gospel attitude. The way, again, that we form these beliefs is by studying the scriptures, exposing ourselves to the truths of God's word. The better our beliefs, the better our attitudes are going to be. Hebrews 4:12. It says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I've got an attitude of my life. I'm not sure if it's right. I come to God's word. And not just like once. Not like I took a pill for a headache. I popped some ibuprofen because I'm feeling bad. No, it's more like I'm on a diet. Not a fad diet, but a lifestyle change diet. Because I want to live a certain way. I want to have a certain quality of life. I'm exercising a certain way. Not just once off. Like, I feel unhealthy. I'll run 5 miles today. Then I'm good for 3 months. That doesn't work. Doesn't do anything. I'm coming consistently to this. And I'm exposing my heart to it. And over time, I'm finding that this word is judging my attitude. Saying to some, you're good. Others, you stink. And then the Bible also, once it diagnoses the problem, begins to transform my attitude. Romans 15, 4 and 6, 4 to 6. Paul says, "For everything that was written in the past," referring to the Bible, "was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." The Old Testament, Paul says, was written for us, so it would give us encouragement and endurance. Now, verse 5. "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had." God gives us the attitude that we need. How? By means of the Scripture. The God who gives endurance and encouragement. How does God give us endurance and encouragement? Paul just said, through the Word of God. This is a change that comes from the inside out, not from the outside in, because it's at the level of our core. It changes who we are and then changes how we see, and from that, our attitude naturally flows. Now, there's a lot of beliefs that we need to bring into alignment with God's truth in order to have a better attitude, to have the right attitude. But the most important set of beliefs are about this man, Jesus, we call the Christ. Why? Well, you may be thinking more about Jesus as we are entering today's Palm Sunday. It's Good Friday this Friday, then Easter Sunday, just a week from today. A week from today. Can you believe it? Wow. But independent of that, the fact that chronologically we should be thinking about Jesus, when it comes to attitude, we need to focus on Jesus. Because there are two errors of attitude. I've talked about one, I've alluded to the other a little bit. The one I've talked about is having a bad, stinky attitude. This is a rotten, this is not going to happen. You know, a teenager attitude. If you're a teenager, I would apologize, except I mean it. I'm kidding, sort of. It's not that you always have a bad attitude, it's that you're bipolar through attitudes. You got to learn to regulate those hormones over time. Over time, it comes, trust me. When you look like this, it's changed. I got to apologize to the teenagers after the service now. I got a bad attitude about that. That just threw me for a loop. Where was I? Okay, yes. Two errors to avoid. One is having a stinky attitude. The other is having, if negativism is one problem, positivism is another. Have you ever met someone whose attitude is just too doggone good for the world that we live in? You know what I'm talking about? Like that person who's like SpongeBob, not just a personality, but actually an attitude, like they don't ever recognize that bad things are bad things. And they believe that through simply being positive, they can do anything. You see these people, sometimes they've got infomercials on TV. And they're trying to tell you, just, you know, buy my tape and listen to my mantra and you will succeed at whatever. And just, I have bad news for you. Positive thinking matters and is important. And Christians should, on the whole, be more positive than negative, because the virtues are faith, hope, and love. Those are positive things. But I'm 5'4". I don't care how good my attitude is. I can't dunk a basketball. Positive thinking won't get me there. You know what? I can think however positively I want, but a good attitude is no substitute for a seatbelt when your car hits another car. Positive thinking is great, and having a good attitude about your finances is really wonderful, but it's not something that you can swap out for reading the fine print on the contract. A good attitude matters, but it only takes you so far. But sometimes I meet Christians who, in the guise of faith, start getting into this crazy place, and what they need to do is to think about Jesus. Because Jesus protects us from both errors, from having a negative attitude and from having a falsely positive attitude. Why? Because Jesus lived in the real world, and he had the best attitude of all. Jesus had a great attitude, but he also knew Judas would betray him. But he had a good attitude about his followers and about Judas. Jesus had a great attitude, but he also knew in Nazareth he'd be rejected because the prophets without honor in his hometown. Jesus had a great attitude. He also knew he was going to die on the cross. See, you can recognize the bad in this world and still have a good attitude, but you need to do it like Jesus. I meet people, honestly, they would condemn Jesus. They'd be like, man, if he just knew how to confess things more positively, that bad stuff wouldn't have happened to him. You You need to be dropped off this planet. We'll pick you up on the next orbit. You need to think about this for a while. That's crazy talk. But I meet people that I think if they put their words all the way together, they would wind up believing that. See, what we need is a mature good attitude, a wise good attitude. You see, Jesus gives us the key. In this world, you will have trouble, no matter how good your attitude is. But take heart. I've overcome the world. See, it goes back to this idea I was alluding to earlier. See, what we need is not simple optimism. What we need is gospel-fueled hope. I read an interview years ago with a guy at the Hoover Institute at Stanford, actually. Admiral James Stockdale, the highest-ranking American POW in the Vietnam War. And he talked about, he was being interviewed by this guy, and he said, what was the difference between the guys who made it in the prison camps and those who did not? Who died first? And Jock Stockdale said, oh, it's easy. The ones who died first were the optimists. Next were the pessimists. Those who made it were those who had hope. And he was like, what do you mean? What's the difference between optimism and hope? No, optimism is just wishful thinking. And the optimists would have their hopes crash continually because everybody's like, we're getting out tomorrow. And then tomorrow they would not get out. The war's in it today. And it wasn't in it today. They just got worn down. The pessimists had nothing to live for. Those with hope believed we didn't know how, we didn't know when, but we knew we would prevail. And that gave us the strength we needed to keep on going. That is, now I have no idea whether Stockdale's a Christian or not, but that is a Christian thought. Gospel-fueled hope. Circumstances are temporary, but the ultimate outcome is in no doubt. And we can focus on it because of Jesus. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Since Christ suffered, get his attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Because Christ suffered, get some of the attitude that he had. That'll be the right attitude, the proper attitude. How do we get that attitude? See, that's the beautiful thing about Christianity. Jesus comes into our lives. We invite him to share his attitude with us on the inside. And then we're transformed from the inside out in a lasting and true way. We can try it by force of willpower. We can just empower through it, and it will work for a season. But then the season will change, and our T-shirt will flake off, and we won't be where we hoped we would be. But with Jesus, we can see true transformation. We see this in Philippians chapter 2, one of the most famous passages in Scripture about Jesus. Paul says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each to the interest of others. Here's the magic phrase for this morning. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, the same attitude as Christ Jesus. If you have these truths from the Spirit, if you've got the Spirit working in your life so that you've got encouragement, if you've got comfort, if you've got sharing with God, if that's happening, then what you need to do is just arm yourself with the same attitude that Christ had. You can tap into it. Now, the way you do it is by prayer, by frequent meditation upon the Word, allowing it to judge the attitudes of your heart and to give you encouragement and endurance to blossom into the attitude of Christ. But ultimately, it's a spiritual work. At the very end of that Romans passage, Paul said, you know, I'm going to skip that. I'll do this. Ultimately, if our attitude is rooted in ourselves, we're going to have a problem. Why? Because we're fickle. We're fallible, and we're flawed. You ever see an award ceremony? like on a, and very often they get up there, they give this little speech, and often the recipient will say something like this. I just want to thank everyone who believed in me. You ever heard that? Why do they say that? Because being believed in is such a powerful thing. The power of belief is difficult to overstate. Can't do everything. I can't fly. But belief can do a lot. The thing is, some of the people who take this positivity message too far, they take that and they say, well, the logical implication is, you got to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, who will? And here's the answer for a Christian. God. God believes in me. Why? Well, because he's awesome that way. And he made me. And he has a destiny for me. And he's arranging things in my life so that they will eventually work out for my good and his glory. And so when I don't believe in myself, that's okay. I can believe in God and he believes in me. And I'll be able to keep on keeping on. This Palm Sunday, as we remember the entry of Christ into Jerusalem, I invite you, close your eyes for a moment. Visualize Christ's triumphal entry. He's coming into Jerusalem. The throngs, the crowds who gather around singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And he's entering Jerusalem. Now shift your picture. There's your heart. And Jesus is approaching. Cry out. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he, comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, and welcome Jesus into your heart to do that inner work of transformation. Now, for most of us here, this is something we do regularly. We continually come to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we invite him to have his way within us. This morning, perhaps, you're here and you've not done that. You've never made Jesus, recognized Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. This morning, I invite you to do that by prayer, by faith. Just simply say, Jesus, yes, come into my heart. I welcome you. I sing Hosanna. Save me. Lead me. Change me. Give me not only a new attitude, but a new future, a new destiny, a new heart. For most of the rest of us, we are here, and we've done this many times before. We keep doing it because every day we need fresh grace, like the Israelites needed fresh manna in the wilderness. Perhaps you're blessed, and you've got a great attitude in almost every area of your life. Even you, I suspect, there's a person. There's a situation that you can use fresh eyes with. So, Jesus, we invite you into our heart. And Lord, we ask you to give us the ability to see what you see in the people around us. To see what you see in the situation that we're in. God, help us to have a good attitude. Not one that is too high and denies reality. Not one that is too low and denies your goodness. But a right attitude, God. That believes that this is going to be all right. And that we can face it with confidence and with faith. Lord, maybe the internet's wrong. Attitude's not 100%. You're 100%. But attitude's pretty big. That's a way that we can agree with you by faith. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you haven't yet, please do fill out your connection card. On the back, there's a place where you can just check, I want to become a follower of Jesus, recommit my life to Jesus. If you did that this morning as we were praying, just fill in the little circle there. And the reason we ask you to do that is that the pastoral team here at Abundant Life wants to pray for you and wants to connect with you, encourage you, and give you some practical help to getting started on your journey with Jesus. Now, for the rest of you, or for anyone really, you can do this as well, even if you're filling those circles. If you have a question for me or for one of the leaders of the church, prayer request, please do put that down. They do pray over these requests every week very regularly. So I encourage you, partner with us in that way and just drop it off in a basket on your way out. It's at the back door near where the video camera is. Our prayer partners will be up front to pray with you. If you have prayer needs that you want addressed here and now, it would be our great delight to pray with you. Abundant Life, Thank you all for coming, for being here this Palm Sunday. I look forward to seeing you Easter Sunday and encourage you, bring friends. They'll be blessed.
Amen. If you'd stand with me, I just want to just sing a song before we head out. Just a great way for us to just respond to this message. We're going to sing the old hymn, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.